I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
So welcome back to the show, folks. Today we are speaking with Joshua Price of suspensionexperts.com, and he's an expert, as the name implies, in account suspension on Amazon, or rather, if it's happened, how to get you reinstated. And also we're talking about how to prevent that happening in the first place, which I think is where the majority of us really need to take note. So we've talked about the two different types of suspension reasons, one of which is a violation of the performance metrics, and that's kind of numbers driven. And it seems like the language that Amazon uses when they contact us is fairly obvious. So the order defect rate is high because of late delivery, something like that. We know what the issue is. We can drill down a bit, but we can deal with that. Let's talk about policy violations. Yay. So you were implying, Joshua, that tends to affect the biggest sellers. Tell us a bit more about what does policy violation mean and what flavors that comes in.
Of course. Well, Amazon have over 100 pages of different policies, rules, procedures that you have to follow. And that's a lot of different areas, and you can make lots of mistakes. No one can really remember all of those things. And even in small little things that you might think are nothing, that can exaggerate out to a bigger problem. And so there's lots of different areas. However, most larger sellers are going to have more products and more orders. And the more things that are happening, the more chance there is for errors, especially if you start bringing in staff and other people into your organization to help manage things, that you're increasing the risk of someone making a mistake. And these are mistakes that a lot of people don't even realize. Things like the way a detail page should be laid out, the text, the images, all these things. We might be aware of, for example, having white backgrounds on images, but it only takes you to have one member of staff upload the product image incorrectly by mistake or on purpose, which has a black background, and you could be suspended for that reason. Another topic here for the policy example is to do with product variations, so parentage and childage, and having a variation products. It's not something that applies to every type of product, but for people who use it, it can be quite complicated and difficult to add things together. And it's often been a system that's been abused for reviews and for search terms and buy box and all these sort of things. Now, the result of that is that you've got an account with 1,000 listings and they're all intricately tied together. That's pretty messy. And it's, you know, in my opinion, almost impossible for a seller to keep track of all of those things and make sure that, for example, the terminology Amazon use on that type of issue is a true variation. So say the products must be a true variation. For example, a t-shirt in multiple colors. All it takes is for one small issue, such as you accidentally link the shoes with the t-shirt, which is not a variation, and you can lose the account. So the more volume you do, the more products you have, and the more staff you have, of course, there's so much more room for issues. And little things just like that can shut down an entire account.
Right. Okay. That's very interesting. So basically, whilst, you know, in some methods of entrepreneurship or some approaches, kind of expanding fast and then cleaning up the details later can be a very viable and indeed the best way to work. When it comes to people who actually interact with Amazon systems, it sounds like you have to be very very strong systems internal to your business in place that understand the Amazon system, and B, you need to be very careful who you let loose on your Amazon account. Is that a fair summary?
Very fair summary, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's quite a sobering thought. So tell us about, what are the basic flavors that policy violations come in then? What are the main reasons for getting suspended?
Well, we've already touched on inauthentic or counterfeit issues. And that is a really big one. And the prevention for that is definitely good invoices. You can't ever stop customers complaining, but really good invoices are going to solve those problems much quicker for you.
Okay.
Another one's intellectual property complaints and rights owner complaints. This gets a little bit confusing. Unfortunately, there's the topic is governed by the laws in which the country that you're selling in. So Amazon try and be as general and vague as possible, which is very unhelpful. So essentially what happens here is you're selling a product. Let's pick a brand, brand A, and you're selling brand A and you're buying it from the supplier and all is well. Now, if the manufacturer of brand A doesn't really like what you're doing, they didn't you didn't buy it from them, you bought it from someone else, whatever. They tell Amazon and say, they say we've got a problem. Now, because it's a legal issue, this dispute about whether you can sell the product, whether you're infringing on a trademark or some design rights or copyright, Amazon essentially go, whoa, 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 sort it out between yourselves. In the meantime, you can't do anything. You can't keep selling. And they back away and they don't get involved in that. And so you receive a notification which basically says, hey, this person at this email address made a complaint about you infringing or whatever the specifics of the case are. And then Amazon back away until you fix the problem. And it's actually a fine system. It means that, you know, Amazon aren't going to get sued every single week. And it means that you have the opportunity to resolve it without Amazon giving you sort of anything too bad for a penalty. The problem is Amazon don't vet any complaints. And this means that Billy Bob One at AOL.com can make a complaint and pretend he owns Disney. And you still have to take it as a serious complaint and you get suspended for it. And the abuse of this infringement system at the moment is causing havoc for sellers, because people who are competing with you are making these complaints so that you get kicked off Amazon. And it's a big mess at the moment, to be honest, as far as Amazon's management of this system. And that's an area that a lot of people are struggling in, I'd say, at the moment.
Right. So what's the solution? I mean, obviously, you know, at some point you're going to need to talk to a lawyer, I guess, if it gets really serious. But if you get that in the first place, that say that Amazon says, you know, we're suspending your account because there's an alleged violation of owner rights or whatever the exact terminology is, what's your next step?
Sure. Well, you have to work out if it's genuine or not. So the email address is always a good indicator. A lot of large companies will have law firms that represent them in these issues. So I've dealt with issues with Warner Bros. And Disney, with Apple, with Samsung. And you know that it's a genuine complaint because the email address they give to you for who's complained is, you know, at, you know, whatever the domain name is for the actual company. And that then is something you do need to take seriously, because people do make these mistakes. And you're right, you know, if ideally you don't want to ever need to contact a lawyer, you don't want this issue to escalate, but it does become a legal issue and not an Amazon issue if the company that you've sort of infringed on pursues it. Fortunately for most people, it's not that. It is this, you know, yeah, some random person at gmail.com, and straight away you know, well, they definitely don't own this product, this brand, you know, whatever they're infringing on. And in that case, really, you've got two options. One is to contact them and try and resolve it with them. And some people will be open to that. You can say, look, you don't own this. What are you talking about? Can you remove the complaint? And there is, you know, a lot of success with that, especially if you use strong language or you do try and sort of write a legal-esque letter to these people. But also, you then go through the same appeal process that you would for any other type of suspension, where you explain to Amazon what they say is what's happened. You bring it into sort of reality. You make it match these things. If they don't own it, then prove who does own it, prove that you're allowed to sell it, whatever that means, and make a plan for how you're going to make sure that's not happening in the future.
Okay. So I guess what you're saying is that you've got to, in the case of an IP or rights owner's complaint, so intellectual property complaint, you've got to really got two sets of players you've got to satisfy. One is the person making the complaint, and you've got to interact with them in some form and try to either placate them, or, you know, if you've got it wrong, we'll talk about that in a sec, I guess. But I guess if you've got it wrong, then you are in trouble. But the other one is you've also still got to go back to Amazon with a plan of action. Is that right?
Yes. There's no suspension that doesn't require a plan of action.
Right.
And good. Whether it's an error, whether it's a genuine issue that's going on, you still need to write exactly the same kind of method of appealing.
Great. So we talked about plan of action in the other episode. Presumably it's the same sort of three-part structure that you'd advocate. Is that right? So you reflect back the problem that they've told you, you try and link it into why it's happened, and then you've got a plan for why it's not going to happen again. Is that still true with this sort of area, or are there other sort of wrinkles to that?
It's generally true. When you get into these aspects of the performance and policy, it becomes more complicated because there is actual evidence a lot of the time that you can put out, whether that is the invoices, whether that's showing a search on a trademark database, for example. And those aspects can then come into it. as well. In addition, Amazon often will give you a bit more of a format for what they'd like, so how they would like it written. And sometimes it's worth reflecting that. So they might say, explain the causes and then explain how you're going to prevent it and explain, you know, this other thing here and write about this. And they'll give you those points sometimes. And not always, but often it's worth using the guidelines they kind of give as hints to reflect and how you write.
Great. Okay. And so showing that you've done some due diligence before you took on the product, like searching a trademark database, having invoices, are there any other sorts of things that you can have in place as a sort of safeguard if somebody does start throwing their weight around and making false accusations?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's really choosing your business model and how you source products that splits who's at most risk here. The major struggle for people doing online arbitrage or retail arbitrage here is that you don't have often invoices, you don't often have permission to sell those products on a larger scale, and that's when it gets a bit messy. Whereas if you are manufacturing your own label products, or you are working with very large distributors or directly with manufacturers, those relationships are key. And so you need to consider this long before anything happens and make sure that what you're offering is something you're allowed to sell and you have proof in some way that you can sell it. And I would just add a word of warning to watch out for a lot of Chinese sellers. Unfortunately, there's a lot of lying that goes on, a lot of deceit. And I've seen many people who believe they have completely genuine products and that they are allowed to sell them, and they send me things and it's an authorization letter from Samsung. And I look into it and of course it's not. It's just something that was made by some seller to get away with selling you this adapter or that thing. And so that's something you need to watch out for, you need to be careful for, you need to be vigilant of. A lot of it's common sense, but sometimes it does mean sending it to someone that really knows about this to get it checked out.
Yeah, I mean, I would just sort of second that, just having spoken to some Amazon lawyers, CJ Rosenbaum and other guys in America, that if you are going to be doing big numbers in your turnover, sooner or later, you're going to need to do some more due diligence, and you could easily go and get an opinion. I think you can get a superficial search. I think it's called a preliminary search, but done by a lawyer, so not as superficial as you or I would do. Be able to do for about $500 a product or something, which if you're going to be selling, you know, $500 a product a month would be overkill probably, because you're less exposed to risk. And also you've got to have some money for inventory, right? But if you're doing $50,000 a month on a particular product line, that is when you've got something that's worth losing and you've got an account that's valuable enough to not be worth losing. I think at that point, you need to be doing your due diligence before you even begin to sell. I mean, that's something that's coming home to me more and more, that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's really terrible, and that's not the right phrase, but you know what I'm trying to say.
And you're completely right, and you know, I'm not a lawyer and this isn't sourcing and all these things are not but something that I specialize in as a service, but in the same way, and this applies to the whole suspension, you want to be making money next year as well as this year. You want to be thinking about a long-term business strategy. Where do you want your business to be in 10 years? And especially if you're making financial decisions based on your current or future income, you know, when you're buying houses and getting mortgages and all these things, you don't need to just sort of prove to the bank that you're a guy who can pay the bills. You also need to be able to pay the bills. And so making sure that what you're selling, what's bringing you your money, what you're employing people with, where that cash is coming from, is something that's sustainable. And so investing in something like you're saying there, checking that you're allowed to sell the product, is key, because how on earth are you going to pay for the 10 staff and your massive mansion that hopefully you've managed to acquire through your successful Amazon business if you're making $100,000 a month from one product and then the product just switches off one day and you were wrong and you've got a big legal case? You know, that's a nightmare situation. And if it can be avoided, then do anything and everything you can, right?
Absolutely. And that's really excellent advice. So I think without trying to delve into mind-blowing levels of detail, we're going to wrap it up here, because I think you've already laid out the framework. I think it's sort of, if you like, an intellectual framework of how the whole thing works nice and clearly. And I think clarity is one of the things we have to bring to bear in a situation where Amazon does not bring clarity. In some cases, it sort of seems to be deliberately trying to hide things behind a code, as you say. So if people do have an issue with suspension, or they are, and I think, you know, personally, I think very wise if they are not yet experiencing suspension and they don't want to, so they want to set things up to safeguard themselves against that, to do best business practice. How can people get hold of you, Joshua, to get more information or advice from you?
Of course. Well, actually, I've decided that really the there's a way that we can explain the information I'm giving better. Okay, so obviously we've chatted about lots of important topics, but suspension changes all the time. And as you said, Amazon are really unclear. So one of the things I do for people who aren't suspended at the moment is I write a monthly magazine newsletter, which explains, hey, here's what happened in the Amazon world this month regarding suspension, and here's some pointers to help you avoid being suspended, right? And so for people who aren't currently suspended but may be concerned about it, that's great. I'm doing the work for you. You don't have to do all this research and understand absolutely everything about it. It's kind of, here's some hard-hitting points and here's what you can do to stop. So that's brilliant. That's called the Platinum Club. And if you pop over to suspensionexperts.com, you'll be able to find a link to that. For people who are suspended, I offer two types of services. A cheaper service, basically, for smaller sellers. I give you some resources, some plans of actions, and some guidelines that explain how to write a really good appeal letter, give you good examples of appeals, and give you templates that have worked in the past. And that is a low-cost solution and is very, very effective. And the other end, for larger sellers, if you get suspended, please send me an email. Again, all my details are on the website. And we help sort of personally one-on-one writing letters and getting much more involved in fixing those problems, especially if it's your second or third suspension, for example.
Great. Thank you. Well, that's fantastic. So, I mean, we've got both the prevention and the cure kind of aspects there. So do you just want to make sure we get your website and just give it out one more time so we've got it there accurately?
Yeah, so it's suspensionexperts.com. So plural experts, but only one suspension.
Right. Yeah. One suspension is enough for anyone, right? Josh, exactly. Thank you so much for showing your expertise. Nice, clear-minded answers based on real knowledge rather than all the rumor mill that are the Facebook groups around Amazon, combined with Amazon's kind of way of dealing with the world, just means that there's so much rumor floating around. And you know, you've been asked about the things that, you know, we have to guess about and we don't actually necessarily know, but also equally the stuff that you do know works and the patterns that you see there. Incredibly important stuff. It's not a sexy thing in the sense of, oh, if you do this, you're going to make an extra 100 grand a year. But I think it's just a part of being a more grown up business person, that you don't just try and create an asset, but you try and A, proof it against problems, and B, you have a plan so that you can go in not in fear and loathing and not with your head stuck in the sand, but just like a grown up business person. You assess the risks and then get on with your life. And get the mansion.
I would get the mansion. I'd chip in there actually with two points. One is about Amazon forums and Facebook groups and all these things. I claim I'm a seller because I've helped 700 people. And often you'll see someone who helped one or two people or their own suspensions, and they then claim to know everything. There's a reason that I've waited before telling the world about suspensions and getting a bit of knowledge and getting that background. Take everything you hear with a pinch of salt, especially from people who maybe lack the experience in multiple cases, because every situation is different. And the second thing, like you say, about prevention, it's so, so key. And while I may not be able to make you an extra 100,000, I may save you from losing 100,000. If you're already getting the sales in, then you don't want to be suspended. You're losing money every day that you're suspended. So doing the preventative measures and the thing we've discussed is key to actually ensuring your income is stable and consistent.
Absolutely. Thank you very, very much for such clear-minded thinking. And thank you for all the expertise and advice you've been offering us today, Joshua. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Hope we can get you back on in a few months to keep us up to date. As you say, Amazon's always changing, so it's very, very important. If you're listening to this podcast, it's July 2017. Time is overtaking me. And if you're listening to this in December 2017 or something, whilst I'm sure the general principles will be the same, you really want to be staying up to date with someone like Joshua, and who is keeping up to date with Amazon. So just a word of caution there to anyone who's listening a few months down the line. Thank you very much for coming and sharing your wisdom and expertise with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Michael.
It's been a pleasure.
Cheers.
Hi, this is Michael Veazey from Amazing FBA. I've got a quick one for you. If you're super stoked and awesomely excited to sell on Amazon, that's great. But if you're American, I'm afraid you need to stop listening, because this one is for the Brits only. I'm not being biased, but this is because I'm talking about something which is based in London. So you're going to need to be in Britain or near Britain to take advantage of it. The basic problem we have as internet entrepreneurs is we are lonely and isolated because we're tapping, sadly, at our tablets on our own. We're cooped up with our computers and we're going insane with the internet. We need to connect to other people. It's only a human thing, right? And relationships are the basis of all good business. So if you are in that situation, keep listening because we have a solution called the Amazing FBA London Mastermind. But I'm going to specifically talk to you if you're in that situation, but you are yet to launch on Amazon. So you want to launch on Amazon, you haven't got there yet. This is exactly for you. It's called the Zero to Hero Pre-Launch Mastermind. And our aim is very simple, to get you from research or importing, or even if you've got products on the way to Amazon, to launch with your first product live on Amazon. That's our goal. That's our focus. How do we achieve that? Very simple. We have a face-to-face meeting of up to 15 people, no more than that. So it's very, very focused. And you get 30 minutes minimum to talk about your business and focus on the single issue that's blocking you that month to move you forward. The other way we keep you accountable is that we have a video accountability call once a month as well, which it goes in between the physical meetups so that we keep that momentum going, because momentum's everything, guys. As you know, on your own, you just lose the dream and you fall into slowness and then the business just dies from neglect. So we do the opposite. We keep it moving. We keep each other motivated. We inspire and we tell the truth about what doesn't work so other people can learn from it. We also have a couple of other things. I give an exclusive newsletter available only to members of the Mastermind where I share the latest tips, techniques, and tricks and bigger strategies that I'm trying on my Amazon businesses and tell you what works and frankly, what doesn't work as well. So you can learn from my mistakes. And of course, there's an exclusive Facebook group to share all this good stuff with each other in between the meetings and the accountability calls. So there's a ton on offer here. It's obviously going to be very limited because it's maximum 15 people anyway. But for the first 5 people who come on board, there will be a special deal and a very special price for life. But that's obviously only for the first 5 people who come on board. So if you want to check it out, just go to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind and you can find out there more about it. You can apply there as well if you want to. And if you move fast, you might even be one of the lucky first 5 people to take advantage of it as well. So that's amazingfba.com/London Mastermind. I'm going to put this video out to everyone on my podcast and everyone in the Facebook group, of which we've got nearly 900 members now, and on the YouTube channel. So I imagine that this will fill quite quickly. So if you're serious about it, get yourself over to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind and you can find. Thanks for listening.